Hey guys, just wanted to let you know the Patreon is up. Check it out, patreon.com/Beer City Media Podcast for all your extra Beer City Media needs. Now on with the show.
And you guys have got to be strong.
The tale of Susan Smith and her missing children captivated and horrified the nation for 9 long days. She claimed a black carjacker drove off in her Mazda on a dark South Carolina road, the 2 toddlers strapped in the back seat. The search expanded nationwide as Smith and her estranged husband, David, pleaded for their return.
Your mama loves you so much. And your daddy, they tell families love you so much.
Susan Smith has been arrested and will be charged with 2 counts of murder in connection with the deaths of her children, Michael 3 and Alexander 14 months.
Welcome to the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast with Ryan, Larry, Springhill, Josh, and the Luma Mommy herself, Miss April. And on today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Susan Smith. Studio Rad Dad 2020 here with the skeptic, the mom, and the beard talking about OG Casey Anthony tonight. Susan Smith. A real fun-loving gal, I guess. An actress, if you will.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to say that.
I'm excited.
But at the end, and I don't want to give anything away, maybe you're a little bit remorseful. And okay. I'll give my theories on that. But doing this episode, this was a Lawrence suggest.
Anything tabloidy is going to be probably one of mine. Mm-hmm. I live for that stuff.
Well, it was a big deal during that time, too. Mm-hmm. When it, I mean,
Nancy it, Grace. Ooh. Was this, did this predate Nancy
predates
Grace?
Predates it, yep.
Mm-hmm. Really? Okay.
Because Casey Anthony was like, Nancy Grace is like,
Yeah, that was her
making millions.
That was her
there was
stairway
her
to heaven.
That was her magnum opus.
Yeah.
Casey Anthony is a bitch. Dead babies. I mean, that's God. What she.
Yeah.
Grace was like a comet.
Yes.
Really hot. Just burn.
Yep.
Burn the fuck out. I don't even know where she works mm-hmm. now. I think
probably
she's
Lowe's.
Doing like BSAs.
She's at a toll booth right now. Dead babies? No. $2. Dead baby? $3.
Yeah, you should get a job working at the baby mortuary.
Dead baby.
Oh, Lord.
Somebody's eating a sandal. Is that my sandal?
Oi. Turn Josh into a British punk rock artist. He's like, oi, oi.
Sorry, I can keep them on if that'll help.
No, it's fine. Riley's just a piece of shit.
Oi.
basically what it is.
Well, if you could tell one of your five giraffes to make him calm down, maybe these animals would be all right. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Hey, you're in a butt or something.
Guys,
hey, what?
Guys,
yes.
What? We need
a hole.
Thank you, sir. You always got my back with that. We got to pull the Thunderbird to the side of the road.
Is that what she drove?
No. But this is actually something that I thought about when doing the research for this, because I feel like Susan Smith got caught up in something that she wasn't quite prepared for. Mm-hmm. And
motherhood?
Yes. I think that it's common. Oh, wow. I think it's common in men and women nowadays. And I think it's only become more prevalent because a lot of our friends, and I'm not talking about you specifically, but a lot of our friends choose to not have children.
Mm-hmm. Mine wasn't a choice, but right. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And I don't mean to upset you by saying
that. No, it doesn't upset me.
But I will say,
I dodged a bullet, I think, sometimes when I hear about stirring turds in a toilet.
Yeah, you did. You did.
If you'd like to test your blood pressure, adopt Asher for a weekend.
Yeah, right.
A weekend? Give it an evening.
Oh my God, I had that one evening.
Yep.
I'm like, I called her. I'm like, how do you shut it off?
And that's when he was easy.
Yeah. Well, I would just bring my daughters. I feel like that would just go over smoothly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I have to ask you guys.
Okay.
And this comes down to pretty much the most primal urge of anybody. Mm-hmm. Was there ever a time that you ever wanted to run away as a kid? Or that maybe you attempted to try to run away? Because I have a story, but I'm just curious if you guys do.
I think it would be fair to say that everybody has romanced the idea of running away more than once.
It's like the Christmas story where he has the fantasy of saving his family with the gun. You have that fantastical,
yeah.
They're going to miss me and they're going to pay for treating me the way they did. Mm-hmm.
Well, sure. Or even if it's the idea of you going somewhere else, like, I think that even as an adult, you think about, like, what if I were to just leave and go to California? Gosh. Or so I'm not saying, like, I'm going to go to the store for a pack of smokes and a six pack.
I think for us, like, we think about more like taking us and the kids and leaving.
Yes. No, I'm saying, like, just imagine
he goes out for smokes and never comes back.
Yeah, like, I've thought of that. Like, what would that be like? I haven't done it.
I'm taking the car keys.
Yeah. Do you know how good the blowies are in this household?
Oh, I know.
You better slow your roll, Captain. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying in general, like, the idea of going somewhere that no one knows you, you don't know anyone else, and starting over and being whoever the fuck you want to be. Because you go somewhere new, you know, they don't have to know who you. If you delete all your social media, they're not going to know who you are.
Bruce Wayne.
So, especially as a kid, I thought about that, but I've never acted on it.
You never did?
No.
Okay.
April? No reason to.
Honestly, I never ran away as a kid. I never had the urge to run away. I had, for the most part, a pretty nice childhood. I was an only child. You know, we were a lower middle class family. They made enough money to...
Oi! Again.
Again, with the now sandals.
He's Jewish.
Yeah. Oi!
Watching a sandal get chewed on, get circumcised.
I actually have more flip flops. So if those are destroyed, that's okay.
Why don't you put those up?
There. Okay. All right, thanks. So I'll grab them during the smoke break.
Okay. Oh, but yeah, I don't think as a child it ever appealed to me because I knew that I had it, you know, pretty cushy at my house.
Of course.
And even as an adult, I feel like I have too many interpersonal relationships, not only obviously with Josh and with our children, but like with you guys, I don't think there's anything that could happen that would make me want to disconnect all of that.
Right.
Larry. I attempted it.
Sword. Did you really?
Sword. There's, okay. When I was a kid, I found these. It was like a kind of like a rubber hose. It was about 3 feet long. And I could put a rock in the end of it and I could twirl the thing and throw the rocks, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm doing this, I'm throwing rocks, and one goes through the garage. Now, I think I've been pretty clear that I grew up in a family of ball busters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In front of the show, Andy, 6 years older than me, older brother, like, dad's going to kill you. So He helped me pack my stuff.
Of course.
And I'm talking hobo style. We're talking kerchief on a broom handle. All my, like, belongings, so to speak. So what I need to survive, he told me. And I'm like, this is my first house, so I couldn't have been any older than 6 or 7 years old. So he helped me pack my belongings and said, you might want to get going. And I walked down to the end of the alley and then realized I don't know where I am after that. So I turned around and came back. So,
oh my gosh. That sounds like something out of like a Brady Bunch episode.
He laughed. He got me on that one.
Oh, man.
Does he ever bring it up to this day?
No, there's so many things. He used to I had a fear of vacuum cleaners for a while. He would chase me around the house with the vacuum cleaner. I was claustrophobic, so he'd either put me in a closet or he would put me in a sleeping bag and tie the bag closed so I couldn't get out.
He's just like, face your fears, Lawrence.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do your parents know that he helped you try to run away? Have you ever told them that story?
No, I don't think I did. I'm trying to remember. I think my mom did know. Because I came back with the hobo stick.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
I'm like, I broke the window, and you and dad,
and I, you know, admitted to breaking the window.
And your dad just walks up with like a hangman's axe
after a 12-hour day at the post office. He comes with this shit.
I've had 13 Labatts, boy. Yeah. You might as well slide your little head into this noose. You're right, Andy. It's killing time.
God.
I did too. I also ran away.
You walked in the opposite direction of your house. Yes.
Chicken the fuck out. Yeah.
I would say I did exactly what you did.
Okay.
So I was 3 years old.
Whoa.
I walked in on my dad hitting my mom.
Oh. No.
And I was like, hitting the G spot?
Yeah.
No. Thank God.
That, what you experienced is much worse.
And my mom was crying. And I remember I went in my room and I said, I'm running away to school. So I took my lunchbox that I had for preschool coming up that next whatever.
Schwarzenegger.
No. It was a Matchbox lunchbox.
Ooh, Matchbox 20?
Cool. Nice.
No.
14 of them.
So I took all my Matchbox cars, put them in my lunch pail, and I walked down the street. As far as I could go. And my dad ran up to me because he noticed that I was gone. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm running away to school. Like they were just going to give me board and like feed me.
Wait, so you actually made it outside?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did. I was walking down the street with my lunch pail full of Matchbox cars. Like, I'm going to start a new life.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy. You remember that.
It's a big memory because soon after that, they divorced.
Mm. Oh, wow.
But I remember distinctly that was me like,
I'm gonna run away and become the tiny Jay Leno with this collection of cars.
Which car? What you got in your lunchbox then? Identify?
Leave me alone, Jay. I'm an angry 3-year-old. My parents are hitting each other. I hate my life.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Yeah.
But anyway, runaway train never coming back. Runway and a one-way track.
Yep.
It happens. Like our page on Facebook. Comment on our Facebook group.
Tell us your runaway story.
Tell us your runaway story. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's your train to the side of
your good night.
Thunderbird. Let's all go cry. Parents hitting parents.
Ugh, that's dark.
Yeah. It is. But you know what? We don't hold back on this show.
Oh.
Josh has got some bad past. April's got. Larry's got, and so do I. We all have it.
Yeah.
It's all relative.
And I think nowadays, especially with COVID and what's been going on with the tension and the country, I think it's important for us to recognize that all of us are all going through our own type of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But what was Susan Smith going through?
Let me tell you.
I have an idea.
What? Mm-hmm.
What she was going through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most I know. Part, I'm guessing.
Well, okay. So...
Susan, although that would have been, never mind. You have the information.
Me, yes.
Let me shut up.
I want to talk a little bit about Susan Smith and sort of the events leading up to the incident. Her childhood is actually really fascinating. There's a lot of stuff that I didn't know about. So yeah, let's get into it. She was born September 26, 1971 in Union, South Carolina, to parents Linda and Harry Vaughn. She was the youngest of three children and the couple's only daughter. Her parents divorced when she was 7 years old, and then 5 weeks later, her father committed suicide at 37.
Wow.
So
that sucks.
Yeah. Her parents' divorce and her father's suicide left her a very sad, like, super distant, weird little kid, which is, I mean...
Unless you get help, that's kind exactly. of what's going to happen.
Well, and this was the early 70s. There wasn't a whole lot of, like, it was a lot of, like, get over it. Figure it out. Now, around the same time that her dad committed suicide, Susan's mother, Linda, remarried Beverly Russell. Now, keep in mind, this is... like 6 weeks after their divorce, she's getting remarried to Bev.
Wow.
Yeah. So she moved on quite quickly.
Or there was something going on.
Exactly. Bev was a successful local businessman, and Linda and her kids moved Bev? From... Yeah, I know.
I know. I was thinking that, too. I saw the name. I'm like, oh, so she's a lesbian. I mean, that's cool, but...
It was the 70s.
Beverly
was a cool guy's name.
My name is Beverage.
Hello,
for short.
Beverage.
Hello, my name is Ashley.
It's actually whatever he calls me, Bev. It's a long
name. Right. Don't ask. So anyway, they
Beverly,
Beavis,
Beverly,
Beverly.
Yes, they moved.
I walked here in clogs.
That's cool.
Oh God.
Oh boy.
So. They weren't super well off, but they moved in with Bev after they got married, which was in a really a super exclusive upscale neighborhood in Union. Now, as a teenager, Susan was really outgoing. Mm-hmm. She was a really good student. Teachers were always impressed. She was well liked by her peers. She was actually voted president of the Junior Volunteer Club. Spent a lot of time volunteering with her friends.
Sorry, nerd.
Yes. And in her final year of high school, she actually received the Friendliest Female Award and was known for her cheerful and fun disposition.
Whatever, Kelly Kapowski.
Was anyone else voted anything for, like...
Secretary.
School yearbook?
In middle school, I was voted most fashionable.
Mm-hmm. I was... Well, two things. I was in high school. I was class secretary
mm-hmm.
for 1 year.
Yep.
And I was voted most likely to become president.
Of the United States of America.
I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, I had put no effort towards school.
How old do you have to be to run for president? 45?
You have to be 35.
35. Well, there you go.
I mean,
they must have thought I was like, if he's a future me.
You're a young gun. You can stir some shit.
I did not get that at all. Future president, like, I'm quiet. I keep to myself. Really not very good in school.
I could see somebody thinking that, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're very well spoken.
Yes.
And you are a good debater.
That's why you're
I'm a master debater,
which is why you're on a microphone.
Indeed. True.
What about you? Were you voted anything in like class yearbook?
I was.
Were you voted?
Likely to have a beard.
I think at that time I tried and oh, God, it was ugly. I was voted in my class in my senior year most unique.
I can see that.
Yes.
We have a winner.
Yes. Oddly enough, the girl that was voted most unique, we were, you know, the most unique. We're friends to this day.
Aw, that's cute.
Are you, you can't be not friends with anybody that you've met in your entire life. There's probably somebody who remembers being a waiter for you when you were 4 years old and they were like,
yeah, Josh Shoup sure is a good guy.
He's going places.
Shocker, I didn't.
You did.
You did.
You're on a podcast that's popular amongst
nerds.
People.
Yeah.
Smart nerds and right? that are beautiful. Yes. Love you, guys.
Join our Patreon.
Yes.
Give us your money. Patreon.com/BeerCityMediaPodcasts.
I was voted a class philosopher.
Really?
It was.
That makes sense, though, because you have...
Especially with your poetry?
Oh, yeah. I was fucking deep as shit in high school.
Larry, quite philosophical. I think you should have been the one who won that.
Class poet goes to Larry.
What was the name of the boy that you were writing Sifting. Those poems about?
His name is Jack.
Jack?
Josh has just remembered one of my poems.
Sifting
to the ashes as we look for dust. That's a Patreon. You got to pay for that.
Yes. Yep.
All you get is the one line.
Poetry slam. Oh
God, I see it. You bringing your poetry.
I gotta dig mine up.
I'm gonna axe my middle clip, and I'm just gonna pull play that
as the commercial.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Oh God.
Sifting.
Dude, that's why I was laughing so hard on that episode.
Getting my balls busted today.
I love this guy more than anything.
I haven't thought about sifting since then.
It's not that he's bringing it up, it's the way he's laughing.
I know.
Look at him! It's from the heart.
It is.
That's the laugh you get when you love and care about somebody and they share that.
Look, I love it. I love a good ball busting.
That's the laugh you get.
This is a really good one.
That's the laugh you get when you pay for the Patreon.
Right.
Oh, so, it's worth it for that.
Yes,
it is. You'll be sifting through your tears.
Exactly. Sifting through your wallet to pay for this pop. Patreon.
Oh, my God. Oh,
Christ.
Oh. Are you still? What are you drinking there, Josh?
Is that tea?
Apple juice.
Oh, thank God, it's not tea.
Yeah.
I was gonna say we're gonna have another last episode.
You know, we passed out. We kind of blacked out from tea. I just love that effort. That particular. What episode was that? It was Jonestown?
Jonestown one.
Yeah. You hear the gunshots. And you just also just. God damn, Josh.
Yep.
Are you okay?
Oh my God.
There's the dog barking.
Jesus Christ.
Episode. All
Everything
right.
is fine.
Sorry, we're interrupting you.
No, it's fine. I appreciated it. I was the one that asked the question who got voted what, so okay. Back to Susan. Now during her teenage years, she enjoyed popularity and leadership positions. She was also harboring kind of a fucked up family secret. At the age of 16, Susan's stepfather, Bev, began to molest her regularly.
Oh, so things went from fucking bad to worse.
Yes.
So basically it was Kelly Kapowski and this was Jeff, the manager at the Max, who's like, I'm your uncle and I also hired you here, but can I just real quick see your nipples?
Yeah, exactly.
Just twist them.
Now, even more fucked up, she reported his behavior to her mother and the Department of Social Services, and Bev moved out of the home temporarily. Nothing of any consequence resulted from her report, and after a handful of family counseling sessions, Bev moved back in.
Oh, geez.
And after he moved back in, she got in trouble.
Of course.
For reporting. She said she was chastised by her family for making the sexual abuse a public affair, and Linda was more concerned that the family would be subject to public embarrassment than protecting her daughter.
We kind of saw that with, was it the girl who got her head popped off?
JonBenet,
wasn't her mom like more worried? Was that the one where her mother was more worried about
Public image?
Yeah. So,
but she's dead, by the way. Crazy to me. Yeah.
Cancer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it was because her head popped off.
No, it's the other one.
It's genetic.
Yeah. Yep. Can you imagine that? Just be sitting at the dinner table, eating dinner, and the whole thing pops off.
Fuck, Grandpa's head hit the ceiling again.
And Trudy put a basketball hoop up there. Oh, three-pointer. Jesus Christ.
Do you clap or do you cry? I don't know.
There goes Junior's head.
God.
So, we thought he was too young to have the disease.
Yes, and it counts. He's on fire.
He's on fire.
From downtown.
Oh, God. So
actually, I would kind of like that if people's heads just popped off. It'd be kind of fun.
There would have to be like
sitting in an elevator and some old man's just like, well,
that's how you go. That'd be dope.
Yeah.
And like confetti pops out. It's like a big celebration.
Well, I don't know who you are, sir, but thank you. My daughter sure enjoys the confetti.
Boy, this COVID's been awfully celebratory.
God damn!
Jonestown!
Wahee! 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 Oh my god. Oh.
At a party like it's 1999.
Yes. Oh my god. So, back to Susan.
Oh yeah.
So, okay. So, Bev moves back into the house. And of course, to literally no one's surprise, her sexual molestation continued.
This guy needs to be castrated, shot, and right? His head pop off.
Now, in her senior year of high school, Susan turned to a school counselor for help. Social services was contacted again, but because Susan refused to press charges, the matter was swept under the proverbial carpet of lawyers' agreements, the sealed records, which protected Bev and the family.
I guarantee this is an addition to the, not serial killer suit, but the crazy town spaghetti.
Yes.
That became who this person is.
Yes.
You at Fazoli's.
Crazy town spaghetti. Come, my lady. Come, my lady.
I was waiting for someone to
just... You have Fazoli's. Come, my lady. Come.
You must have fly, sugar baby.
Buy one, get one. 50% off. We're celebrating
our new spaghetti.
No.
So, head on down.
Just people driving through the drive. Uh-huh. Their heads popping off.
Love it.
Well, it's from the heart disease from eating
fast food. Fazoli's.
From eating fake Italian cuisine.
Yes. Oh my god. Okay, so during the summer of 1988, Susan got a job at the local Winn-Dixie grocery store and actually moved up the ranks really quickly from cashier to bookkeeper. She was very, very smart. Okay. And well-liked, so she was able to progress quite quickly. Now, this was still while she was in her senior year of high school. She was sexually active with three men, a married older man who worked in the store, a younger coworker, and of course, her stepdad, Bev.
Are we counting that one?
Yes. So at this time, in her senior year, she became pregnant.
It's a hat trick.
Right? She became pregnant and had an abortion. The married man ended their relationship, and her reaction to the breakup was to attempt suicide by taking aspirin and Tylenol. While being treated in the hospital, she admitted to having tried a similar suicide attempt when she was only 30.
Mm.
But yeah, like Ryan said, this is definitely like stirring the pot of
crazy towns.
Crazy towns.
Spaghetti.
Yeah. Now we're going to talk a little bit about David Smith, who is her future husband. She met him at work at the Winn-Dixie. He was a high school friend. Now, David was actually engaged to another woman at that time, but ended his engagement to start dating Susan.
I think a lot of relationships start on that kind of uneasy ground.
Yeah.
Was it that way for you and Aaron, Larry? Did she have a boyfriend at the time or you have a girlfriend at the time?
And I did not have a boyfriend either.
Interesting.
Or a girlfriend.
Yeah.
But I did. She did try to break up with me. I told you this.
Yeah, that's
a good story. See our Patreon.
What did Ryan episodes. Call her again?
I believe Ryan called her the C word.
I believe that's you're right. And then you revealed that it was Aaron.
It was a good setup.
Valentine's Day episode.
First one.
Special.
Yes. The
first one.
Yep.
Season one.
Oh my god.
I was not with anybody when I. April.
She dated Anthony.
Yeah, she used Anthony.
Two dates. Side note, have I ever shown you a picture of Anthony?
No, you haven't. You've okay. never shown us a picture.
I dug this out of the archives. I was having a conversation with Pete on Facebook Messenger, and LP. And I had wondered if I still had the emails that he had sent me. And I shit you not. This was the photo that he attached to one of his emails. This was the photo.
What he's wearing and like what the picture is?
I mean, you can try, but this is, I mean, it's a fucking doozy.
I'm going to go with a duster, fedora, holding a sword sideways, standing next to a bunch of books.
Nope.
Oh.
I'm sure he has photos like that, though.
I'm guessing a white long sleeve button up shirt with a brown vest.
I'm guessing a super close up picture, and you really can't tell other than his shirt.
Nope. He's standing in his bathroom. It's a mirror selfie. He's got a size too big dark denim jeans and a corded belt with a size too big blue button up, appears to be denim shirt tucked in. Ooh. With his glasses, hair tied in a low pony, and his hand on the shower bar.
Oh my God. A man of power.
I'm just going to pass this around. Okay. And know that I went on 2 dates with this person.
Yep. Not as bad as I thought.
Well, actually, I'm more like a 7 okay, out of
this
10.
This guy looks like a 6-year-old putting on his dad's clothes. But I wish him well.
Yes, of course.
He did say...
Not a bad looking guy.
M'lady.
Yeah, those pants.
Let me show you the
big.
Other picture.
Oh, okay.
If I'm about to see a dick pic,
it's not a dick pic.
We've already talked enough about dicks in the another show that we will recorded.
Be oh no!
Yeah,
no. See, that's not good.
Yeah, that's what this is what he looked like on our first date.
It's like he can't grow
no
mustache hair.
I'm Jon right? Snow.
Like,
oh my God, he kind of looks like Jon Snow. Oh,
yes, I'm Anthony Blizzard.
Tony Blizzard.
Tony Blizzard. Oh my God. Forget how did we?
Don't ask.
Because I was dating him kind of when I met Josh. Right.
Yeah, so you kind of used him.
If there was any drama before you guys went into your.
I just stopped texting him. I ghosted him completely. I was a total bitch. I feel really bad.
You should feel.
He's fine. He's fine.
I'm sure he's
got his own wife.
Laying in a sea of puss right now.
Pillows?
Early. Yes. Yeah.
He's laying in a sea of waifus.
Yes.
Got himself. Yes, that sea is made out of bathwater.
Hey, sure. I stand by the fact that I think Belle Delphine is a fucking genius. Now she's selling condoms.
Oh, yes, of course. When I think Bill Gates, I think Belle Delphine because she's right up there with him.
She's a genius. When I think of Elon Musk, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, right just below is Belle Delphine. As far as genius goes,
she's playing so many.
I think of scientists,
dudes.
Dr. Fauci is just below her. As far as intelligence and genius goes,
the scientific Keebler elf has been keeping us safe all along.
When I think of geniuses, there's Albert Einstein, and then just above him is Belle Delphine.
E equals tit C squared.
Mm-hmm. Tit C squared.
Oh my God. So back to Susan. She had met David. He broke off his engagement to be with her, started dating. He got knocked up. So they decided to get married when they found out she was pregnant. They got married March 15, 1991, then proceeded to move into David's great-grandmother's house.
Yes.
Now, David's parents were suffering the recent loss of another son who had passed away from Crohn's disease just 11 days prior to the wedding.
Whoa. A horrible way to go.
So by May 1991...
Oh, it could kill you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially if it's untreated.
Yeah. By May 1991, the strain of the loss of a child provided to be too much for David's parents. Father attempted suicide, and his mother left and moved to another city.
Jesus Christ.
This sort of smashed together with Susan's like history of family abuse really drove them to find comfort in each other. And it was one of those relationships that burned super hot and bright and fast and then was nothing.
Unhealthy.
Very, very much so.
So what you're saying, it's one of those types of relationships, they just start, they have a lot of sex.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she got pregnant.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's true.
But also a lot of drama.
Oh, a ton of drama.
And I feel like I was in a relationship very similar to that, where it was all built on like, yo, in the Navy, and everything's so on the precipice. Mm-hmm. So everything that happens becomes so extreme. But then when things calm down, all of a sudden it's like, where's the drama?
They have to create it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll go into that more in a little bit. Now, their first oldest son, Michael Daniel Smith, was born October 10, 1991. They loved him. They showered him with all kinds of attention. They were great parents. But he wasn't the Band-Aid on their marriage that they thought he was going to be.
Never works that
way. Which, I know, no one should ever assume that a kid's going to be a Band-Aid. It's just going to make it worse. So it put a strain on their relationship. Turned out that Susan was far more materialistic than David was, and she would often turn to her mom for financial help. And David hated Linda. He thought she was a bitch. He thought she was way too meddling in their relationship. And she was very concerned about how they raised Michael. So that pissed him off. Now, their first separation, that gives you any idea into this drama.
Got a number of the separations.
Yeah. So their first separation was in March of 1992. And over the next 7 months, tried on and off to mend the marriage. Now, of course, during this time, Susan dated a former boyfriend from work. Now, in November 1992, she announced she was pregnant again with, I would assume, David's child, which seemed to kind of bring him back to the relationship and gave him like a clearer focus on what he needed to do to be a father figure and a good husband.
Right.
They borrowed money from Susan's mom for a down payment on a house. Now, at that time, Susan became more distant and complained a lot about being pregnant, which I can't fault her for. Being pregnant is fucking awful. It's literally the worst. I mean, I can think of worse things, but it was not a picnic. And women who complain about being pregnant just smile and nod and rub Don't their try feet. To fix it. Yes, no, because you can't. It's just. No, in June 1993. David started feeling lonely and isolated in his marriage because they were fighting all the time. So he began a relationship with a coworker. So now they're both separately having affairs on each other.
Great.
So after the birth of their second child, Alexander Tyler, on August 5th, 1993, David and Susan reunited again. If you're counting, that's now the third time they've gotten back together, but then split again 3 weeks later. David moved out and they decided that the relationship was officially over.
Okay.
Now, regardless of the marriage, people have said they were both really exceptional parents. They love their kids. They seem to enjoy spending time with their kids. But yeah. Now, after their breakup, she didn't want to work at the same place as David. They were both still working at the grocery store. So she took a job as a bookkeeper at Console Products, which is like the biggest corporation in that small town of Union. It was, I believe I read it was like a fabric, like a textile place. So, again, she was super smart, really good at her job. She eventually got promoted to executive secretary for the president and CEO of Conso, J. Carey Finley.
I'm J. Carey Finley.
He sounds like he has a mustache, and he sounds like he looks like the boss guy from Monsters, Inc.
J. Carey Finley. Once a year, I come down from my house on the hill with my son with scissor hands and survey the city.
Exactly.
So I was picturing some guy with like Triple H's physique.
Okay.
Sure.
And I don't know why. Own,
but yep.
Still a scissor kid.
Yes.
A scissor kid.
I can carry up my your meat. My
name is Clippy. I'm really good with coupons.
Your version of Edward Scissorhands is easily my favorite. He cuts coupons for single moms.
Yes. And I make ransom notes.
Oh.
Oh, we'll get to that.
In a random turn of events, he grows up to be the circumcision doctor.
Yeah. All these Jewish guys who like to suck baby dick and like cut off their little tips with their teeth and just like,
we don't understand.
Oi, we've got the competition.
Meanwhile, Freddy's like, I want a paternity test, bitch.
Freddy finger banged to my mom. It did not end well for her.
I know everybody got a little tense there when I mentioned that, but that's for real. Like a Hasidic community in like it New is, York it City
is, has that been, is super hardcore though. Let's yeah. not paint all.
No. Not all Jews. I'm talking like super
super religious. Yeah. One. You kiss the peepee after you circumcise it,
but then also kind of go. Argh.
Like a dachshund
to a sandal.
kid's like, ew.
Because there was, I know of one story where the kid got herpes.
Yep, and died.
God. Yeah. Everyone gets a good chew on the calamari before they.
Jumpy, jumpy, yar! Beep, beep!
Oh my god. It's a weird episode.
So anyway.
Okay, so Susan, in this executive secretary position, this was a super prestigious position for someone in as small of a town as her, and she got to sort of hobnob with rich people. She spent a lot of time
knobbing
in this extravagant. Well,
if she spent time knobbing, she wouldn't have gotten pregnant,
right?
Yeah.
So during this time,
lips.
Yeah, tell the bitch that.
Yeah.
Get on the knobbing.
She's hobbing on those knobs.
God. So during this time, she got close to Union's most eligible bachelor, Tom Finley. Now, Tom Finley is her boss's son.
I see the porn like that.
She had the hots for Scissor Kid.
It's creepy.
I know my way around a dotted line.
I bet he's always well groomed. He needs no manscaped.
No manscaping, and I can give you a pizza coupon.
God, can you imagine taking your dick out to take a piss if you had scissor hands? How gentle that process would have to be.
No idea. Like holding a newborn baby.
God.
But awesome around a grill.
Kish kebabs all around.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so January 1994, Susan and Tom began casually dating. By the spring, she and guess who? David. We're back together for the 900th time. Right. The reconciliation.
I can't quit you.
I know, pretty much. The reconciliation only lasted a few months, and Susan told David she wanted a divorce. In September, she was dating Tom Finley again and was planning their future together.
He just sounds like a Keebler elf.
I know.
Name's Tom Finley.
I've been just growing these fudge rounds out here, and eventually we'll get to...
Yes, I am a elf fudge, and I would like to give you a promotion.
Thank you, Mr. Fudge. Tom Finley here.
I'm making you head fudge packer of the elf fudge corporation.
I can pack the finest of fudges.
I've seen you pack fudge. No one packs fudge quite like the way you pack fudge.
That's right. I'm Finley here, packing fudge.
God.
Bird fudge packer.
Yes. So, okay, so in September of 94, she was dating him.
Cool.
She was planning on, like, marrying this guy. Meanwhile, he was planning out... He was trying to figure out how to dump her. So, clearly things were not going well.
Ew.
So, on October 17, 1994, just before the divorce papers were filed, Tom wrote Susan a Dear John letter. This is how he broke up with her.
Not John.
Right?
Excuse me, Susan, but you don't quite pack fudge the way I do. I have to retire to the E.L. Fudge Retirement Center in the sky.
His reasons for wanting to end their relationship included the differences in their backgrounds, and he flat out said, I don't want to raise your kids. Like, her having kids was a major turnoff for him. Mm. He was not at all interested in being a part of their upbringing. He encouraged Susan to act with more self-respect and referred to an episode when Susan and a friend's husband were caught kissing each other in a hot tub during a party at Tom's father's estate.
Yeah.
Finley wrote in his John Deere letter.
John Deere? He's on a lawnmower.
Meanwhile, Tom Finley's running. I thought we were making cookies.
The Scissor Kid. He's cutting the weeds.
Yep. Blade of grass at a time.
Where the John Deere can't quite.
Right.
Meanwhile, behind that bush, he's clipping his Waldo. Let's just slip our whole universe into one.
Yep. Perfect.
I'm in San Diego's there somehow.
So
I heard something about fudge. I'm on a mission.
Kato Kalin's the neighbor.
Why not?
Juice drives his Bronco off a bridge. Mm-hmm. I thought it had four wheel drive.
Sorry. Didn't mean to shoot your John Deere. That was a real deer.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead. So she's cheating on Fandry.
Yes. So he busted her making out with a friend's husband. And in the Dear John letter, which you can read the whole thing online. It's like, if you search for it, you can read the whole thing. It's hugely long. Otherwise, I would have included the entire thing. Mm-hmm. But part of that, he wrote, if you want to catch a nice guy like me one day, you have to act like a nice girl. And, you know, nice girls don't sleep with married men.
It's
not wrong.
Not wrong.
Verified on Twitter.
Right.
Very true.
Now, Susan was super devastated when she read the letter. But she was also pretty delusional at this point. Like, she thought all of the lies she was telling, and the deceit, and the cheating, and the affairs, and this like grotesque narcissism, this world that she lived in, she was having a lot of trouble accepting the fact that that he broke up with her. She was super depressed that her relationship with Tom ended, but she was still sexually involved with David, her stepdad Bev, and her boss, if you remember correctly, is Tom's dad. So she's sad that he broke up with her, but is boning her dad, not like onto the same breath. So in an attempt to get Tom's sympathy, Susan confessed to him about her ongoing sexual relationship with Bev. When that didn't work, she told him about her affair with his dad and warned that details might come out during her divorce with Todd. Tom was shocked, but reiterated that they would never again have a sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. So he was like, dude, you're fucking crazy. Just be gone. And she wasn't having it. So on October 25, 1994, Susan spent the day obsessing over the breakup with Tom. As the day progressed, she became increasingly upset and asked to leave work early. After she picked up the kids from a daycare, she stopped to talk to a friend in a parking lot and expressed her fears for Tom's reaction to her sleeping with his father. In a last-ditch effort to sway Tom's feelings, she asked her friend to watch the kids while she went to the office to tell him the story was a lie. So she was gonna like renege on the whole thing and say like, no, it was fine, I was just being weird. I totally didn't bang your dad, but it's weird that you guys have that same mole on your ass. Right. Now, according to her friend, Tom didn't seem happy to see Susan and quickly got out of his office, got her out of his office. Later that evening, she called a friend who was having dinner with Tom and their friends. He wanted to know if Tom had said anything about her, but so a lot of her like early story is like devastating mental fucking with, and then this need in her like early 20s to cling to someone or something that's going to take.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, her dad left her.
Essentially. Right.
So, on October 25th, 1994, Smith reported to police that her vehicle had been carjacked by a black man who drove away with her son still inside. The composite sketch of the alleged carjacker, however, was too generic in the sense that it described half of the African-American men who lived in the community.
Looked like a creative player on NBA 2K.
Susan, can you describe the assailant?
Black.
Five foot ten.
He had some hair.
You can see all the racist people in the community like, I bet he was. He probably took my job. Right. I got something to say about that. He probably secretly gay too. All them gays running off with kids, white women's kids.
He looked like Michael Jordan. I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal.
I mean, Michael Jackson. I mean, LeVar Burton. Who knows? So for 9 days, she made dramatic pleas on national television for the boys' safe return. However, following an intensive investigation and nationwide search for the children, she confessed on November 3rd, 1994, to letting her car roll into nearby John D. Long Lake.
Bad.
Which drowned them. FYI, they weren't X-Men kids. They didn't like laser beam Cyclops either way out of there and like turn into Aquaman and like start an army with fish. Her motivation was reportedly to facilitate a relationship with a local wealthy man by the name of Tom Findlay.
Ed Fudge Packer, you know Fudge.
Prior to the murders, he sent Susan a letter that April touched on. That
my John Deere letter.
The relationship.
On John Deere head, heading paperwork.
She said there was
nothing
no,
runs like a deer.
She said there was no motive.
Car into a lake.
Nor did she plan on the murder, stating that she was not in the right state of mind. Unfortunately, she'd been jilted.
The truth.
And most men and women, when they get jilted, they can't stop eating Reese's peanut butter cups or slamming too hard. Really,
yes, the beer. Yeah, I was about to say alcohol. My advice, yeah. I would imagine.
10 milligrams edibles. Donor Patreon.
Hey, you can come up with some pretty excellent business plans. That's true. I've heard.
Later investigation revealed that detectives doubted Smith's story from the start and believed that she murdered her sons by the second. Now, by the way, when they did this, the public, like, I think even during the initial press conference where she's like, my babies, oh my goodness. And then the detective goes up there like, we're not looking, you know, we're not looking. We are looking for everybody and all the suspects, and the family is definitely a part of our investigation. And they got flack for that because they're mm-hmm. like, look at this lady. She's pouring her heart out. There's no mm-hmm. way you could ever say that it was the mother.
Like 98%
basically
of
internal family mm-hmm. members.
Family or a good friend or something.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. But at the time, it just seemed so, because she's crying and it just, right. you buy the tears, you buy the emotion.
Crocodile mm-hmm. tears.
True. So by the second day of the investigation, the police suspected that she knew their location and hoped that they were still alive. Investigators started to search the nearby lakes and ponds, including John D. Long Lake, which eventually is where they were found, where their bodies eventually were found. Initial water searches did not locate the car because the police believed it would be within 30 feet of the shore. It did not search farther. It turned out to be 122 feet from the shore.
Would she drive the thing in the...
She hit one of those Mario Kart speed boosts.
Ah, and yeah, that makes sense.
Did a quick barrel roll out.
Yep. She used a mushroom before she got to the yep. Yep. Too. Yep. Yeah.
Also hit a star. So she's like,
yep. Yep.
Maybe as she was coming down, she hit one of the bumper things, and that like
really like skipping the rocks.
Yeah. And yep. then the glider comes out.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
What the hell? So the biggest breakthrough of the case
we're
was
going together.
Just for good measure, she tucked and rolled out of the car and threw a blue shell at him. Mm.
A couple banana peels.
Mario Kart. So. The biggest breakthrough of the case was her description of the carjacking location. She had claimed that a traffic light had turned red, causing her to stop at an otherwise empty intersection. However, it was determined that the light would not have turned red for her unless a vehicle was present on the intersecting road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This conflicted with her statement that she did not see any other cars. She did not see any other cars there when the carjacking took place. So they knew she was full of shit, right. basically, mm-hmm. when they went to actually investigate this. Smith's defense psychiatrist diagnosed her with dependent personality disorder and major depression, which it sounded like if she wasn't getting it with David, she needed to find somebody else to fill that void.
Mm-hmm. I think no one would have filled that void.
I think you're right.
That's almost verdict territory.
No, that comes in the second segment, which we'll get to after this break.
Hello, conspiracy therapy listeners. Are you subscribed to our Patreon yet? You're not? Well, for $5 extra a month, you can get an extra show a week. Pray tell, Larry, what would those shows be? Well, wouldn't you know it, I just happen to have a clip here for you to listen to.
Let's get ready
to listen to one of Larry's dopey poems so I can laugh at it.
Nope. Ryan's not going to laugh at all at this one.
Nope. Not going to laugh. All right. Here we go.
Sifting.
What do you mean by sifting?
It's the title of the poem.
Okay.
I rarely named them.
I was going to say, were the other ones not titled? Okay.
Sifting through the ashes as I look for dust. Sifting through my past as I look for trust. Sifting through the sand as I look for dirt. sifting through my pain as I look for her. Sifting through plenty as I look for enough. Sifting through my heart as I look for love. Sifting through the sky as I look for stars. Sifting through my soul as I look for scars. Sifting through the lies as I look for honesty. Sifting through you as I look for me. Sifting through the silence as I look for noise. Sifting through my fear as I look for poise. Sifting through this world as I look for what's true. Sifting all my life for something like you.
Was this a KMFDM song? I couldn't. Oh, man. You set me up. It didn't matter. He could have said anything because you started laughing. I couldn't stop.
So if you like what you hear, you can subscribe at patreon.com/ Beer City Media Podcasts. That's patreon.com/ Beer City Media Podcasts. Now on with the show.
Soup Kitchen Studio. Boom, bow, 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 bow. Back with Skip Mom. That's the beard. Get down some Susan Smith.
Yeah, we are. I think we need to talk about... We know... Okay, so we got... What do we have on our plates here? We have a crazy...
A full plate, I'll tell you that much.
It's got a seafood platter.
Mm-hmm. Favorite seafood.
Mm.
I had mine, crab legs.
At this point, it'd be shrimp.
Shrimp's so good.
I'm a big sushi guy.
Sushi is amazing.
A sushi. Yeah.
Mm. Love all seafood.
Really. I had an amazing platter of sushi.
Shishu.
Yes.
It was delicious.
What about you, dear?
Yeah, I'd have to say sushi or like a really good quality cod. Beer battered cod.
Mm. We're having that for dinner delicious. Some point this week.
Mm-hmm. Cod.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I love seafood, much like Susan Smith loved feeding the fishes. So the news that would eventually get out that Susan killed her kids by driving them into the lake, and I think it goes without saying that you had a community of people that were very upset for very good reason. The whole nation was upset. Parents, like, questioning, why would you kill your kids? You have
other parents going, I get why they can.
That was April. But you also had a community right there in that little tiny town of African Americans who are saying, you put this target on us.
Yeah.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
like,
it was a white woman who said
blaming black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, imagine in the early 90s, like at the same time of like the LA riots, after all that had happened, being a black man in a small town like Union and having white people going, is that the guy? Because he's black.
Come on.
Right.
I'm not LeBron.
He just happens to be like the town's dentist. But for some reason, he's being fingers are pointed at.
Exactly.
I'm just a respectable member of the community, but yet somehow a white woman said this and now I have to fear for my life.
Yeah. Right. Well, and especially because it was such a nondescript. Like, he was a black guy. Okay.
5'10".
Yeah.
Well, and everyone
else. Average height. Average weight.
Everyone found it suspicious that no one recognized who the kidnapper was. Locals compared Smith's case to that of Charles Stewart, a white man who in 1989 alleged that a black man had fatally shot his pregnant wife. Stewart later killed himself when authorities indicted him for the crime. As Smith's trial approached, popular magazines weighed in with a dramatic headline. And we've all seen it. This is National probably Choir. Where Larry saw yeah. it. How could she Star. Do it? Crazy mom. Does she deserve to die? Asked People magazine.
Just like that.
Yes.
Die.
You know, and that's...
And that's the public, too. They're just like... As soon as somebody becomes like a bad person, according to the
general public,
court of public opinion, it just basically becomes like, yeah, I think the best punishment for her is actually cut her tits off, knock her kneecaps out, and then pour salt in the wounds. It's fine.
And then have a bull core out her asshole. Oh, she stole a wristband from JCPenney.
There's racism. Mm-hmm. Let's be real with it.
Killing innocent babies never goes over well.
No.
And they were so cute. I mean, that's,
yeah.
You had news reporters on major news outlets crying, talking about it. And it is sad because you know what? She was not focused on her children.
Mm-hmm. No, she's focused on Dick.
Mm-hmm. Tom Findlay. Yes. Fudge packing operation.
My fudge packing apparatus.
Well, and I guess the problem is that the trial hasn't even come up yet, and we already have Time, we have People magazine, big publications that whether you want to see him or not, you're at the grocery store buying a gallon of milk, and those magazines are right there, and you always see
them. I was buying them, and I was sneaking them.
Half the time, you don't even need to read them. It's like the headline catches your eye, and you see, and like, oh, yeah, that's the girl that did this thing. And
yeah, it was...
Just reading the link before reading the link was a thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, like everyone does on Facebook now.
Yeah.
So there was already a very negative light being put on her before trial even came. But during the trial, Susan's defense lawyers relied heavily on Susan's childhood of tragedy and sexual abuse. They claim that this manifested into a lifetime of untreated depression and suicidal thoughts. I think I would actually, that's probably very fair for them to bring that up. Anybody with that kind of childhood trauma, they're going to be affected.
Yeah, unless they get help.
Right.
Yeah, and doesn't seem like she did. They explained that her abnormal need to depend on others for happiness led to the multiple sexual relationships she was involved with in during her life. The bottom line was that Susan, as outwardly normal as she might have appeared, was in truth hiding a deep-seated mental illness.
Yeah, that's where it gets weird.
Mm-hmm.
It does make you wonder if she had sought counseling, maybe.
If she was listened to the first time she said she was raped.
Yeah.
Yeah. That just crushes her trust for people right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in this soup that she did not put in.
It explains it.
Crazy Town spaghetti.
Yeah. It explains it, but it doesn't forgive it.
Right. It doesn't justify it. Absolutely. Sure.
No, I agree.
Well, it's. What I always say, especially when it comes to like friends of mine who are dealing with shit, I just say, face your fears, deal with your demons. Don't put things off. Like if you know things are out of whack, like fucking figure it out, man. I mean, I've had multiple times in my life where I've had to stop and just be like, okay, I'm drinking too much, or I'm excessive about, I'm or maybe I'm too focused on trying to find like the perfect woman, when at the same time, maybe it's a good time for me to just care of myself. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time for me to actually search.
Yeah, you can't put those things off because it just gets worse if you do.
It does. It exacerbates the problem.
It's the same thing as slapping a kid on a, you know, on a marriage and expecting it to fix everything.
Never does.
Mm-hmm. You have a kid and you cross your fingers and go,
yeah. And what really happens is you ruin the marriage and the kid.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. Or you could get a Disney cartoon version of a Pomeranian that has like poofy brown hair, and then it just solves everything.
Right. It does solve everything.
A tiny, Paddington bear.
Oh, Chewy.
Yep.
Now, her stepfather, Bev, who at the time was a Christian coalition leader.
Oh, really?
Like that. I'm going to leave my opinions out of this.
Doing the Lord's work.
Testified in court that he had sexually molested Susan when she was a teenager. And again, in the months leading up to her drowning the boy. So this guy actually came out and admitted to it.
Which, I mean... Points to him, in that essence. Nah, fuck him.
Yeah.
Well, fuck him. I guess it's a fuck him, but also a thank you for not being the worst piece of shit.
Right. An honest Christian?
Interesting. Much like Jesus of Nazareth.
Who Nazareth.
Couch.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Couch Jesus.
I just imagine him talking
Jesus
like
pull out.
I just imagine him talking.
He's a flipping fuck.
I imagine him talking like the dude.
We need to watch that sometime.
Oh, yeah.
April still hasn't seen it.
No, I haven't.
Maybe that's our Monday night.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh.
Hey, you guys can come over tomorrow night. We'll watch it. Anyways.
Okay, I'll be here.
The prosecution showed the jury a more devious and manipulative side of Susan, whose only concern was her own desires for the cock. Her children had become a handicap in Susan's ability to get what she wanted. Cock. By killing them, she would not only get the sympathy of her lover, Tom, and his dick, but with the children gone, it was the one less reason for him to end their relationship. Prosecutor Tommy Pope painted a picture of a selfish, manipulative actress who could make herself cry at will. He held photos of Michael and Alexander as he described for the jury what their deaths must have been like. And this is kind of fucked up, but they were probably crying. They knew it was dark. They knew they were scared. They knew they were alone, but their mother ran with her hands over her ears. Oof, that's a like. That's a fucked up thought, to run knowing that your kids are in the vehicle crying as it's going in the water. And you don't die from that. It's not like you die immediately.
Now, do they get into how she did that? Did she run it into the water and swim out? Or did she put the brick on the accelerator?
Probably that. I mean, I don't have anything here for it, but
she never really admitted
to
the details.
Not that I want to give people a how-to.
Yeah, well, she declined to testify and was totally unresponsive during her trial, except when her sons were mentioned, which sometimes led to her sobbing and shaking her head as if in disbelief that her boys were dead. You did it, bitch.
She... I watched all this footage. I think she is actually tortured by this. But I'm saying she made... I think she literally had a moment where she realized what she was doing, and it kind of became part of how she manipulated the crying, because it was so fucked up. I honestly don't think she's a serial killer or a monster as much as, like, say, Casey Anthony, who got away with it and who's probably fucking everybody from here to, like, doorsmen's to mailmen's to...
Are you telling us something?
No, I've never had sex with Casey Anthony.
Would you?
No. I thought realistically there. I do have what do you call it? Ethics.
Oh.
Titties.
I still run away.
Titties.
It only took the jury 2.5 hours to return a verdict of guilty of 2 counts of murder. Despite David's protests, Susan was spared the death sentence and received a sentence of 30 years to life in prison. Smith's family members gasped with relief. Her former husband told reporters on the courthouse steps that his ex-wife had not received justice.
Ex-wife.
Quote, "I'll never forget what Susan has done, and I'll never forget Michael and Alex. Me and my family, of course, are disappointed that the death penalty wasn't the verdict. She will be eligible for parole in 5 years when she is 53 years old." In 2000,
You're younger than Andy.
Yeah. Listen to this, though. Keep going.
In 2000, during her incarceration at South Carolina's Camille Griffin Graham Correctional Institution, that's a mouthful, two guards were punished for having sex with Smith.
Damn.
Her sexual activity in prison was discovered after she had contracted a sexually transmitted disease.
Penis.
She was consequently moved to the Leith Correctional Institute of Greenwood. One guard pleaded guilty and spent 3 months in jail, while the other guard pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 5 years probation.
They got away with it.
Yeah. She has also been disciplined at least 5 times between 2010 and 2015 for various other infractions, including self-mutilation and the use of possession and of narcotics or marijuana. Each infraction has resulted in the loss of privileges, including loss of visitation, canteen, and telephone privileges. Smith claims that the first drug infraction was just one diet pill, and the second infraction was for her hoarding prescribed medication and taking large dosage to deal with depression. Now she works at Leith Correctional Institution as a ward keeper assistant. She interacts sparingly with guards and inmates. Her only personal items are a Bible and a photo of her 2 sons. Quote, "She's a very tortured soul," says a source in the prison. "She goes through the motions every day, but I wouldn't say she makes much of her life here. She's just there, a non-entity. She seems off when you talk to her, like she's always preoccupied, but she generally follows orders and instructions and gets through her days. Sometimes she can be pleasant, but usually she just keeps to herself. No one trusts her to be alone with a guard. She spends most of her time in her cell or working, but when she's being transported, there's always a male and a female guard with her." In 2005, Smith wrote a letter to the state, quote, "I am not the monster society thinks I am. I am far from it. Something went very wrong that night. I was not myself. I was a good mother and I loved my boys. There was no motive, as it was not even a planned event. I was not in my right mind." Now, if I may, I want to play the clip that I was originally going to play in the middle. So if you want to give me a dinger dang.
Susan Smith, the past 25 years. You can see how the young mom has aged in the last 2 decades. She's now 48. In that time, she has been disciplined 5 times, including, get this, for having sex with 2 correctional officers. Captain Alfred Rowe was one of them.
She had enough charm to attract you to her. How did it start?
Her approaching me at about 3 o'clock one morning, telling me that she thought I was the nicest officer there and that she was lonely, and things just escalated.
Rowe told me he had only 1 sexual encounter with Susan Smith, but it was enough to cost him his job.
I did a phone call not to come back to work.
You were fired?
Yes.
Did you lose your pension? Did you lose everything?
Yes. Lost it all.
What do you want people to know about Susan Smith?
That she's a manipulator and good at it.
You make it sound as though she played you like a fiddle.
She did.
Smith is said to be haunted by memories of her little boys. She's a tortured soul, one source tells People magazine.
She keeps pictures of her boys in her prison cell.
Yes.
So, yeah, the fact is she has a way. Because, I mean, I know Ryan and I probably, have you guys seen a picture of her?
Mm-hmm.
I would say she's an attractive woman. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, she uses her looks and she gets the D. And that's, you know, obviously it sucks because like that dude, he lost his job. No, and it looked, and when I saw the video, it looked like much older. So he was probably at the point of retirement and lost everything because he's
married. Don't stick your dick in a prisoner. Mm. Like, that's not hard. Or it was.
It was very
hard. Like,
look, I mean, I'm pretty sure that when you sign the paperwork to be a prison guard, it's there in the paperwork. Hey, don't fuck the prisoners or you'll get fired. Like, I understand him being manipulated, but as a woman, I feel like that's kind of a bullshit excuse.
You have choice.
For putting your dick where it's not supposed to go.
You make the choice. It's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
There's he wasn't women. Going, oh no, don't oops, suck I me slipped. Off.
And it slipped right in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's some dastard.
Dennis Rodman. That was his excuse.
That's the same fucking thing as men who cheat and they're like, but I was manipulated. Fuck off. That is not even remotely a legitimate excuse to cheat.
Love the person you're with.
Yes.
Find a good person. Yes. And don't treat them badly.
Yes.
You know what? We all die alone in this world.
Right.
Oh, thanks. Shit. I'm sorry. Red Dad got real there.
I was waiting for a cork pop.
Oh, my bad. Pop.
Thank you. All right. Well, hey, that's been your episode. But hey, let's do a quick verdict. In one corner, a cute looking young-ish at the time, Larry.
Young at the time. Yeah, that's appropriate.
44, 43.
I'm 44, yeah.
44-year-old Larry.
Halfway to 88.
44 Larry with a Beastie Boys cap
halfway
on.
Halfway to death.
Sexy specs on.
Yeah.
A Miller Lite in his hand.
Of course.
And the rest of your pod family who have to weigh in on whether or not we think Susan Smith is as evil as he's pilled. Do you think that she... Now, we... She was convicted.
Correct.
Do we think she's a monster? Or do we think she was just a product of the time? She was caught up in that red dick at the time. Not my dick. Dick of the dicks.
Dick as in, like, you
Keeler
know,
dick.
A rich
you
dick.
Go to the grocery store and there's just an aisle of dick.
Ooh. Like, name brand dick? Yes. Or?
Well, I mean, you can have generic. It's just
Meyer brand
label.
Dick.
It's just a white label. It says dick. Right. Generic dick.
Do you think she's a monster? Do you think she is just a product of her time?
Joshua. I think this is a case of all the above. There's no denying that her crazy history of getting raped by her stepdad and all the other stuff that happened to her, that's all fucked up. Yeah. It's everything was going to make her brain not be normal. So, but what she did to her kids is it cannot be undone. Mm-hmm. And I understand having a moment where you get mad. My son, about a week and a half ago, took one of my favorite guitar pedals that I spent like $200 on for some reason, brought it upstairs and threw it down the stairs and it doesn't work anymore. So, yeah, I was pissed. But I wasn't about to take my son and yeet him into a lake. So... so that's
maybe it crossed your mind for I love you, man.
This is a case of she's got some shit and it's you know, that's affected her, and it sucks, and I feel bad for her, but she killed her kids, man. You can't come back from that.
So she's a monster.
I'd say she's a monster. April. And she's been manipulating dudes in jail for cock.
Good for her.
She was a little late.
She's still a human.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. You know what? I'm sure she can. If she can get marijuana, I'm sure she can get a big ass black dildo.
I don't think she's for the black.
That's true.
Or a big ass pink dildo. I just went with a color. She can get a blue one for all I care.
Dr.
Yeah, but blue is the color of her kids.
Going for the Dr. Manhattan dildo. I tried to slide right over the
memories is all I'm saying.
Okay, so she can go with a big clear dildo. I don't care.
Oh my god.
All right. Dude.
Oh, okay, fucking stop. Hell.
April.
Okay. Please save us.
Yes.
About a dildo.
I actually tend to lean towards is what she did completely unacceptable, and did she deserve to be locked up for that? Yes, absolutely. I think a lot of what she did can be attributed to her mental illness. I think a lot of people have done things in the name of their mental illness that they can't necessarily be held accountable for.
Yeah.
She was clearly not ever stable. I mean, looking back at her relationship with David, it was on, it was off. It was on, it was off. She was dating this guy. She was porking that guy. She was still fucking her stepdad. Like, there was so much instability in her life from very early on that it progressing to the point where she killed her own children isn't honestly that surprising.
I just picture her stepdad eating like a hot can of beans out of a can.
Out of her can.
Well, and
with a spoon.
Oh my god.
And being like, I don't know where things went wrong. Well, do something? No.
Can I get conjugal visits with my daughter?
Oh my god. Well, and here's another thing that I had thought of too.
Pornhub.
Yeah, right.
Right there.
Yeah. Here's another thing that I had thought of while I was reading through all of this information is her youngest son was 14 months old, which is still very much within the window of postpartum depression.
Okay.
And if she's suffering from already all these mental illnesses and then pile on top postpartum depression, when I had postpartum depression, I legitimately thought about throwing my son out a window. Like, that's a thought that you can have and that is very valid. And if you are not of totally, totally sound mind, that's how shaken baby syndrome happens. That's how kids get injured, is because women who are struggling mentally can't care for their kids, and something like that could happen. And you know, and it's very valid that she could have done that and was remorseful for it in court. I would have to imagine she's remorseful for it, but does that validate what she did? No, absolutely not. I don't think the label monster is quite fitting,
right,
for the situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it. Lawrence.
Yeah, she's a monster. I mean, it seems to me that she drowned her kids because they were getting in the way of that Tom Finley dick. Okay, Josh, the dick size you were showing there was like the size of a saxophone.
Oh, I mean, like easier Kenny G.
Kenny G size dick.
You can't be the top performing fudge packer without a Kenny G dick.
Yes, I have
the biggest dick in the fudge industry. King Fudge Packer.
I'm going to say, I think that she isn't a monster. I think that actually she was, she had mental issues. And I think she's a product of her time. I think she killed her kids. Hold on. I think she killed her kids because she wanted to manifest something. She wanted a fresh reset. And after that breakup and going back and forth with David, I mean, he divorced her. So the fact that these breakups and separations happens are real, but at the same time, she was... What she did was horrible. What she did makes her a monster, for sure. And I could say easily, she's a monster, but I listened to the tapes of her talking, and she did lie. She lied to the press, she lied to the people. What she's saying is not true, and she knows where her kids are. She knows she killed them. So again, that makes her a monster. But when I suss this one out, I actually see somebody who's so...
Yeah, I apologize. Just slipped right out.
It's so lost and so deluded and not the person they are. It's almost like an alcoholic or a drug addict who had to come off of a substance in order to actually find out who they were. And I think that's where she was at that time. I think now she's very remorseful. Every interview I've seen, like you said, he has a picture of her boys up because she knows if they were there now, she wouldn't be there.
Her oldest would be 29.
Yeah.
Do you think she's remorseful because she got caught or because they're dead?
I think she's remorseful. Remorseful.
Not caught because she turned.
I think she's. I think Susan Smith is remorseful because what she did, now she regrets with every fiber of her being. That's the verdict. All right. Well, hey, guess what? That's an episode. All right. Good night. Bye. Yeah.
Alrighty then.
No, we don't have anything else to say other than thanks for supporting us on Patreon.
I'd like to wish my wife a happy 20th anniversary. Which has already happened, I guess, when this comes out.
Yes.
We love Aaron.
Here's.
What you do, man.
Not drown the kids.
Don't drown the children. Don't be jacking puppy off in the toilets. That
dude, it saves so much cleanup.
Okay, fair enough.
Actually, I do that. My bet.
Jesus, Josh.
Oh my god. Boy. Wow.
I guarantee that didn't even pick up.
Nope.
We just sound like assholes. Josh is trying to make a sweet, sweet, sweet point, and then we just hear like,
what was that?
The bark of a tree being ripped off behind his chair.
I am Groot. No, what you do is you edit this podcast on the anniversary and be like, hey, come listen to this part, man.
When Josh farted. Listen to this part.
So romantic.
Yeah, it shows to you how much I love you, man.
Happy anniversary, Aaron.
Speaking of farts, check out our latest Patreon episode.
We cover lots of issues.
That
involve tissues.
Indeed.
Weddings.
Indeed.
Farts. Farts always involve tissues. Yep.
Food always comes up.
Asher's poop history.
Remembered the hook finger.
Hook finger. No, the newest James Bond villain. Hook finger.
Just sticks his finger up their asshole. and their face.
Does it come hither with the poop on the finger?
Yep.
Oh my god, how cruel would that be? Like, he sticks a finger up their asshole and then makes them sniff it.
No, gives them a... Okay, the term is Dirty Sanchez. I don't agree with that term. It sounds a little racist, but yeah, that's what it's called.
I feel like if I was a villain, I would put poop in people's eyes just to give them
pink eye, brown eye, whatever just you like want to call
extreme,
it.
Extreme, direct to the is eyeball, pink torture? Eye. Yeah.
You're a villain. What's your torture, Ryan? No, let's say we're not awful people, so our torture is just not really,
So we can't say I would pierce their nipples.
It's like how you are as an actual person. How would you torture somebody?
Right. Mine would literally just be like resetting their microwave timer every single time.
Like, so it burns the food or it undercooks it? So burns the food? Okay, that's a good one.
I know what Josh's is.
What's that?
Never playing anything besides Dream Theater.
Ooh,
home. That's how awful. He tortures me.
That's awful. Yeah, I heard the UN is looking into his forms of torture.
Joshua.
I was playing nothing but Pink Floyd yesterday.
I know you. That's good. I'm giving you shit.
I played Pink Floyd yesterday at a pool party. We must be related.
I'm getting. Oh my god.
That was the dog, I think.
Oh, was it?
That wasn't okay, Josh.
Sound like death.
What?
I'm gonna go with my torture would be just burp smell.
Acrid burp like smell. Yuck. Eat a
kielbasa.
Oof. Like
garlicky. Oniony. Regurgitated.
How about me eating
right in her face.
Plate of shrimp and ice cream and having a like half a gallon of milk.
I know you guys are all turned on.
And then right Taco now. Bell.
And then Taco Bell. And then have a windowless room.
You could legitimately rocket yourself to the moon if that was your diet.
And then just gas someone out.
It's just my everyday life.
Elon Shoop.
Yeah, this is coming from the lady who farts just as much as me.
They're
they don't know about that.
They it's are not
like unicorn.
Yeah, like,
this is just. This sounds like this just sounds like another conspiracy we brought up. I don't believe it.
Right,
old pink hairs.
I've seen things. I've heard things.
Like I told Garrett, they're not farts. They are lady whispers.
Your lady screaming.
Well, we covered lady whispers on the last episode with the queefs.
That's right. I forgot so about queef the queef.
I forgot about the queef talk.
I can't wait to listen so back queef to that.
Talk that. When I was editing, I was like, my God, do we ever not talk about queefs? Because I did a quick edit. I didn't do like a full edit. I just kind of looked at
oh, boy.
My little edit points.
Queef talk oh, it
they're
is.
Talking about queefs. Queefs again.
But you know what?
5 minutes queef. Or another 5 minutes queef.
Josh.
Oh, the middle clip song is a queef song.
You know, the thing is, though, is you'll never get to hear those that queef conversation unless you subscribe to patreon.com.
That was on Conspiracy. Right. Right. So
not
nice Patreon. Try,
if you want to hear me do poetry that Josh laughs at.
Hey, Josh, I'm going to give you... Josh.
Lifting.
Josh, I'm going to give you a chance. Because I know this is a segment or a thing that you like us to do now. A hint towards next week's episode. If anybody has a good idea for a hint, but I figured Josh might like to do this because he appreciates this.
Hey, baby, you want to go rob some rich people and
Robin Hood?
Let's go rob some rich people and oh shit, we're gonna drive our vehicle and stuff. It's fun.
Okay, are you
a hell of a hint?
I was gonna say it's a banger of a Jay-Z Beyonce song.
That's true. That's a good hint.
All three.
Okay, that's your hint for next week's episode. We love you guys.
Better.
Oh, no one does.
Does anybody have anything else they would like to throw out there before we end this?
Thought it was your ghost pussy. Turns out it was your ghost asshole.
Nice.
What the fuck was that?
We'll see you next week in another episode.
Turns out it was her ghost asshole.
It was a Conspiracy Therapy podcast. Have a great one, guys.
Well, if you told me you were drowning, I would not lend a hand. I've seen your face before, my friend, but I don't know if you know who I am. Well, I was there and I saw what you did. I saw it with my own two eyes. So you can wipe off that grin. So been a pack of lies. I can feel it coming in the air tonight. I've been waiting for this moment all my life.
been a presentation of Beer City Media.